a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Very good. House State Affairs will now come to order. I'd like to greet everyone who present, as well as those listening on the internet. Just a quick reminder, turn off your cell phones. If you're going to testify, sign in and make sure that you're badged as you come forward. I would ask at this point the Secretary to call the roll.
Representative Abdallah.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Fargan. Gibson.
She's
here. Gush.
Here.
Hoffman.
Here.
Hunhoff.
Here.
Moser.
Here.
Rausch.
Yep.
Turberville.
Here.
Wick.
Here.
Cronin.
Here.
Lust.
Here.
Gibson's here.
Gibson, I put it down. Very good. Very good. A quorum is present. I'd ask for a motion to approve minutes.
So moved.
Second. Seconded by Gibson. All those in favor, say aye. Those opposed, nay.
Aye.
The minutes are approved. Well, just a quick reminder that for those who are testifying, please run your questions through me, and we'll try to expedite and make the process as efficient as possible. With that, we'll move on to consideration of bills. I'd ask the proponents of House Bill 1014 to come forward and testify. Please introduce yourself.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Mike Howdyshell. I'm the state 911 coordinator, and I'm the staff attorney for the Department of Public Safety. House Bill 1014 is brought to you today on behalf of the South Dakota 911 Coordination Board through the Department of Public Safety in an effort to better define how governing bodies can use the 911 emergency surcharge authorized in SDCL 34454. It is the belief of the board that the legislature originally intended the surcharge to be used exclusively for the provision of 911 services. However, current state law does not specify what costs are considered necessary to operate the 911 service, and misuse of the surcharge has been a concern of this body for many years. As the demands on a 911 service increase with every passing year, and local governments look to provide adequate funding for this vital service, it has become extremely important to ensure that the 911 surcharge is dedicated to one purpose and one purpose only, namely to provide quality 911 service to every resident and visitor of the state of South Dakota. With this goal in mind, House Bill 1014 seeks to do the following things. In Section 1 of the bill, it clarifies the purpose of the 911 surcharge and provides that the surcharge shall only be used to pay for allowable non-recurring and recurring costs of the 911 system. Although the 911 board believes that this was the legislature's original intent for the 911 surcharge, there's some ambiguity in current law, and this change will ensure that the purpose of the surcharge is clear and not subject to misinterpretation. In addition, Section 1 cleans up some language regarding the South Dakota 911 Coordination Fund, which is comprised of the surcharge proceeds on prepaid wireless service. These proceeds cover the expenses of the 911 Coordination Board, pay a portion of the salary of the state 911 coordinator, and starting in state fiscal year 2012, will be used to reimburse local jurisdictions for allowable non-recurring and recurring costs of the 911 service. Turning to Section 2 of the bill, this section would grant rulemaking authority to the board to allow it to delineate allowable expenditures of the 911 surcharge. This provision will ensure that the 911 surcharge is used in a manner that directly relates to the 911 service. The board believes that the legislature intended to grant it this rulemaking authority with the passage of Senate Bill 143 in 2008. Senate Bill 143 tasked the board with several duties related to 911 funding. For example, SDCL 3445-23 states that the board shall monitor the number and location of public safety answering points or systems and use the 911 emergency surcharge funds in their administrative and operational budgets. 3445-24 states that the board shall develop criteria and minimum standards for operating and financing public safety answering points. And 344526 states that the board shall develop criteria for the implementation of performance audits of the use of the 911 fees utilized in the operation of the 911 system. However, there is ambiguity in current law, and it's unclear whether the board has the authority sought in this section of the bill. The ambiguity arises from SDCL 3445.18.2, which grants the board rulemaking authority to establish requirements and amounts for reimbursement of recurring and non-recurring costs. Throughout SDCL Chapter 3445, reimbursement of costs appears to be referring to reimbursement from the 911 coordination fund. Whether this rulemaking authority extends to establishing allowable costs, regardless of funding source, is vague, and this bill asks the legislature to confirm that the board has the authority it believes was originally intended with the passage of Senate Bill 143 back in 2008. And finally, Section 2 deletes an obsolete provision of state law that requires the board to promulgate rules specifying alternative arrangements that can be utilized by a public safety answering point to comply with the so-called two-person rule. Some of the members on this committee are on the Interim Rules Review Committee, and they know what this is referring to. This section is, or this language is no longer necessary because this legislative mandate was satisfied by the board in December of 2010, and alternative arrangements are now contained in administrative law at ARSD 5002-0402. So on behalf of the members of the 911 Coordination Board, I thank you for your consideration and continued support of the board's effort with a yes vote on House Bill 1014. With that, I'll conclude my comments, and I'll stand by for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Howdy Shell. Are there any other proponents for House Bill 1014? Any proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1014? Any opponents? Seeing none, we'll close the public testimony portion of the hearing and open it up for discussion and or questions by the committee. Any questions by members of the committee? Is my mic on? No questions by members of the committee. Very good. Nice job, Mr. Hodeshell. Is there any action at this point by the committee? Any motions and or action?
Mr. Chairman, I move due pass of House Bill 1014.
We have a motion due pass by Representative Gibson. Is there a second? Representative Ralph seconds. Very good. Any discussion on that motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think this clarifies the duties of the state 911 coordinator, and it will clear up any questions about where charges are going to occur, and the money that is collected will go straight to the 911 commission for follow-up, and I think that the money will be used as intended, and it will be a strong clarifying law.
Very good. Thank you, Representative Gibson. Further discussion of that motion? Seeing none, at this point, the committee is asked to vote on due pass motion. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Representative Abdallah.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Gibson.
Aye.
Gosch.
Aye.
Hoffman.
Aye.
Hunha.
Aye.
Moser.
Aye.
Rausch.
Aye.
Turberville.
Aye.
Wick.
Aye.
Cronin.
Aye.
Lust.
Aye. House Bill 1014. Is bet due pass?
We'll Mr. Chairman,
go to the House floor. Representative
Gibson.
I would object to putting on the consent calendar. Thanks for. We need some work to do on the floor. Very good. That House will go to that bill. House Bill 1014 will go to the floor. Representative Moser, would you carry that on the floor, please? And Representative Hunoff, you can assign who would you like to your caucus. At this point, I was remiss in neglecting our pages. If you could introduce yourself, tell us who you are and where you're from.
I'm Roberta Foreman, and I'm from here in Pierre.
I'm Isaiah Wannenberg, and I'm from Gray Reef.
Very good. Welcome. Good to have you. With that, we will move on to House Bill 1017. Any proponent testimony on House Bill 1017? Please come forward and introduce yourself.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Lori Filer with the Department of Corrections. I think I'm, as long as it's green, it's on.
Yep.
Mike? Okay. All right.
All right.
Yes. All right. Thank you. House Bill 1017 is a bill that's brought at the request of the Department of Corrections. And what this bill would do is it would add offender identification photo and physical description for adult inmates to the laundry list of things that we can release for purposes of public and victim notification. The page is handing out a statute that you've got to kind of lay side by side when you look at the statute that we're seeking to revise. And I might be a tiny bit short on copies. Members of the committee that I was able to visit with ahead of time, I gave you a bill brief that had the copy of that statute also attached to it. So if you could maybe look on with your neighbor, I apologize. I didn't make quite enough copies with this. Existing statute, which is the statute that we're seeking to amend, is 24220, and that allows the release of some inmate information for purposes of victim and community notification. But since the identification photos and the physical description isn't included in that laundry list, we're restricted to releasing the photo only in situations where the prisoner becomes a fugitive from justice. Either they escape from us or they abscond from their parole. And to really kind of get it, I have to read a copy of 23.57, which is the statute that I passed out. And the last sentence there, you know, has the disclosure that statute under criminal identification does not restrict the release of information pursuant to 24.220. So by adding the offender identification photo and the physical description to the laundry list in 24.220, that would allow us to release it just for purposes of victim and community notification. So why do we want to do this? That's kind of the mechanics of it. Now the why, there's really kind of two pieces to it. One, just from an operational standpoint, there's some burdens that it placed on the system and places on the inmates by not being able to release their picture. One, we're trying to get inmates situated as much as we can to have the identification credentials they need when they release from prison. And one of the things that's really common is that we have to help them get a duplicate birth certificate for proof of identity. And in order to get a birth certificate, you have to send in a picture ID. Well, our prison picture ID works for that, but technically we can't release that because they're not a fugitive from justice. There's also issues. This legislature several years ago passed a bill that allows us to participate in the Interstate Compact for adult parolees, which just allows us to send one of our parolees to be supervised in another state or vice versa. There's a database called the ICOTS database that allows us to look across states to say, like, who is doing time in South Dakota on parole from another state. And one of the things that's on that ICOTS database is supposed to be picture. Well, South Dakota parolees don't have their picture up there because we can't release it. A third example is there's some state laws that kind of conflict with this prohibition of having inmate photos on the as public record. One of them is Department of Social Services has statute that says they can have access to our records for purposes of child support enforcement. Occasionally, one of their investigators is going to want to see a picture of one of our inmates to make sure they're serving the right non-custodial parent. You know, there might be two Bill Smiths, and they want to be able to take a look at that photo to make sure it's the right person. Technically, this statute would not allow that. So those are just some of the operational examples where we would like to do this. We are also on kind of the tail end of implementing a comprehensive offender management system, which is a big computer system that manages all of our offender operations and movements. And one of the things that we have had as a long-term goal is to have an offender lookup on the Internet. South Dakota is one of just a couple of states that doesn't have an inmate offender lookup, where a citizen or a victim can go online and say, I'm going to see if Lori Filer is still in prison and get the information on there. We would like to be able to have the option of including a photo on an offender lookup. So it's also with that in mind, knowing that that'll probably be this summer or fall before we would be able to reasonably do that, just kind of where we are with our project with the offender management system. So that's the other piece of it, is that, you know, you can have age and you can have gender and you can have race, but sometimes you do need to look at the picture to make sure it's the right person, whether it has to do with aliases or, again, with common names. If I'm a victim or if I'm a community member who wants to look up and says, I wonder when this guy's getting out, you may not know for sure who you've got until you take a look at the picture. So with that, I would appreciate the committee's consideration of it, and I'll try to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Filer. Are there any other proponents for House Bill 1017? Proponents? Are there any opponents for House Bill 1017? Any opponents? Busy day here in the committee. Seeing no further proponents or opponents, I would close the hearing to public testimony and open up to questions of the committee. Representative Mosier.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for Ms. Filer. My only concern is that we don't run into a situation where somebody is out of the system and then 10 years later, you know, their picture and all their information is still up and they're calling and saying, how can we get this stuff down? And so I guess my question is, what's kind of the mechanism for making sure that this stuff gets taken down when it's appropriate?
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
What our intention is to do the offender lookup just for inmates and parolees, and then when a person is discharged their prison sentence, that the information be removed offline. When we look at other states who have comparable systems, what we'll probably do is copy what they're doing and put kind of a message at the bottom with contact information, i.e. a phone number, because it is still public information to know. Again, I'll use myself as an example, that Lori Filer did time for thus and such a crime and she discharged her sentence on this date. It's not relevant anymore for us to have a picture of me up there 10 years later, and we don't have the information. We don't know where I live at that point, those sorts of things. So that's what our intention would be. And with our offender management system, that's going to make it a lot easier for us to manage because it's going to be more automated where we can get those things off of there. And it's we have no intention of leaving those up there after a person is discharged. What the purpose is for victim and community notification while they're still during their sentence.
Very good. Thank you. Follow-up? Representative Abdallah?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Filer, also, would this new bill also provide the victim a photo of updated photo of the offender?
Representative Lust, yes, Representative Dalla, it would. We have a process within the institution where we update photos on a fairly regular basis or if there's a significant change in appearance.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Representative Hunhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just two easy questions. Would that be okay? Ms. Filer, on line 9 of the current language, and there's probably a good reason for this, but why is it permissive? Why is it the Department of Corrections may release the following information?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hunoff, it may be an easy question, but I don't know the answer.
Okay. Yeah, well, it doesn't have to be answered today, in my opinion. Mr. Chairman, one other.
Sure.
And could the news media of the state also access these photos? That's been an issue, I think, at times. The news media have tried to get photos of prisoners, and I think they've been denied at various times. Does this also open it up more freely to the news media?
Mr. Chairman, yes, Representative Hunoff, it would. It would fit under the category of public and victim notification, yes. Yes.
Further questions? Representative Wick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and for Ms. Filer. How often will the pictures be updated?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Wick, it kind of depends on the situation. I'm going from memory, so A little bit of a disclaimer there, but I think that we take a picture when they first come in, and we take a discharge photo or a release photo. Now, the average length of stay for an inmate is about a year and a half. So for most people, it's going to be updated pretty quickly. For people who are doing longer terms, I think it's every 5 years, but we always take an update when they go out in the community, whether they go out on work release or go out on parole. Or if there is a change, a major weight loss or gain, or beard or no beard, those sorts of things.
Follow-up, Representative Wick. Further questions by any members of the committee? Seeing no further questions, I would open it up to action by any members of the committee. We have a motion moved to pass by Representative Abdallah, and a second by Representative Gibson. Any discussion on that motion, Representative Abdallah?
No, sir.
Very good. The motion before the committee is to pass on House Bill 1017. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, will please call the roll.
Representative Abdallah.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Fargan.
Aye.
Gibson.
Aye.
Gosch.
Aye.
Hoffman.
Aye.
Dunhoff.
Aye.
Moser.
Aye.
Roush.
Aye.
Turberville.
Aye.
Wick.
Aye.
Cronin.
Aye.
And Lust.
Aye. House Bill 1017, having received the required votes, is passed and will go to the floor. No, you don't, Representative Dowd. Thank you for that thought. I would ask that Representative Turberville carry that bill on the floor. And again, Representative Hunoff, you can assign that as you wish to your caucus. Well, Representative Fargens, welcome.
Well, hello.
We were able to get to our bills quite quickly without your presence. With that, we have no further bills in front of the committee. At this point, given our bill load, I do not anticipate having a meeting on Friday, so we can stand down until next Monday. I would entertain at this point a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Very good. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Hearing none, we are adjourned.